Welcome to Managing Cybersecurity Podcasts, sponsored by AlgaSec. AlgaSec is the leading provider of business-driven security management solutions. You can learn more about AlgaSec at algasec.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast show. In today's episode, we'll be speaking with Professor Avishai Wohl, AlgaSec CTO and co-founder, about infrastructure as code. We'll explore why infrastructure as code is a major component of the DevSecOps shift left movement and learn how IAC, infrastructure as code, can help developers deploy secure application connectivity. So Avishai, let's start off with the basics. What is infrastructure as code?
Well, the idea of infrastructure as code is when you're deploying a new application, let's say you want to deploy multiple servers, you want to allow connectivity between them, you need to organize your networks, you need to put in security controls, and you want to make sure that that application is deployed exactly as designed multiple times because you have a stage environment, a production environment, maybe multiple regions. And so you can codify all of these elements, what systems you need, what servers you need, what services you need to provision, how you want to connect them to each other and so on, into some kind of script that's written in a language that's geared towards such activities. And then you can execute the script, which is the code, and it creates the infrastructure for you. And every time you do it, you get exactly the same result.
Great. That's pretty concise. Now, how is infrastructure as code applied in the network domain?
Well, one of the things that you need to provision when you're deploying an application is a network connectivity. So what is allowed to talk to what? Which systems need to communicate with which other systems and so forth, and over which protocols and ports, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're doing that typically in a cloud environment, in an infrastructure as service environment, such as Amazon, AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, you need to provision security groups and rules in these security groups that allow the connectivity that you want to use. As part of your infrastructure as code script, you need to indicate that these servers should communicate with these other servers using these ports and protocols in all the directions that you need to do that. And this needs to be templatized because when you're running your script, you're creating the servers as you go. So their addresses are something that gets populated as the script progresses. So you need to have a template that gets populated with the connectivity controls to suit the current instance that you're deploying.
Why is it important to place security early in the development cycle by applying a shift left concept?
Well, the reason is that if you do things the old way, so the infrastructure gets created using code, and then it's in production, and only then you run some kind of scanner or a security tool, and you identify that something is not secure enough, that's often too late. I mean, it's already in production, and now you have to go back, find the developers, and tell them that they configured the system in a way that's too lax. And then they need to go fix it. And in the meantime, you're vulnerable and you lose time and in general, not a happy outcome. It's much better if you can review the script, the code for the IAC, identify what it's about to do in a what-if kind of situation. So what's it going to do when I run this? And make sure that the security controls that the script is implementing are aligned with what the organizational guidelines are. And if you can do that, and you can report back to the DevOps people or developers that some of the configuration that they put in the script is not what it should be, you have a chance to fix it long before it gets deployed, and it's much more efficient and also much more secure to do it that way.
You know, Avishai, there's this whole debate about who stands to gain more from this approach, development teams or security teams. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's an either or kind of question. In general, there are multiple values in this approach, and the overarching value is to neither one of these teams. It's there for their management because you get much more rapid deployment. The whole concept of infrastructure as code is that you can get things done quickly. So you get shorter cycles, you could deploy your applications faster, and you get to market faster, which is worth a lot of money to organizations. Now, if you look specifically at the interests of the development team and the interests of the security team, so the development team gets feedback early on, which they like. They get the feedback using the tooling and the mechanisms that they are used to. So you get feedback as comments in your pull request, or the type of feedback that is common in QA type of environments. So the, you know, bug reporting and so on, bug tracking systems, code repositories. So it's convenient and it's aligned with other processes that developers have to use anyway. It's a convenient way to consume the information, and it's basically simpler and faster. So that's on the developer side. And on the security side, you have the ability to control what's happening in areas of the development where presumably early and before using IASA type solutions, information security teams just didn't have the visibility. They didn't know what was coming. They were not able to see it, at least not beyond Word documents and Visio diagrams saying, okay, this is what we're planning to do, but it wasn't real. And sometimes there are big gaps between, you know, the sketch in the Word document and what actually gets implemented. So if you have the right tooling and you are able to deploy systems that can do what-if checks on IAC and provide commentary early on, then the security teams have a chance to influence how the developers work in a way that's non-confrontational, in a way that is easy to consume and creates a lot less friction. So basically, everybody wins.
Obviously, Avishai, this is all part of a preventative security approach. It's not a silver bullet by any means. So what are key challenges that you see inherent in a preventative security approach?
Well, there are multiple challenges that have to be overcome. I mean, you have to have the right tooling that can understand these scripts in their myriad languages and control structures, extract the bits that are security related from them, and then do a what if risk check, assuming that this is going to be deployed with the controls as written. Is this aligned with corporate guidelines? Yes, no, maybe. Then you need to provide the feedback in the way that developers want to consume it. And you need to have visibility for the security teams to see what's going on and to be able to tweak the parameters and decide what's acceptable and what's not. So there's all kinds of technical elements that go into this. But there are systems out there on the market that do these things. And so these challenges can be overcome. And it's a good idea to deploy something like that.
So we all know that business applications are the lifeblood of any organization. So what does IAC risk analysis mean in the context of application connectivity?
Well, at the end of the day, the risks are risks to the application. The reason for connectivity in the network is because that connectivity supports some particular function in a new or revised application, and therefore, if the connectivity is misconfigured, if it's too broad, then the access to the application's data and systems is, in a consequence, too broad, and then there's a risk there. So doing the risk assessment in a what-if scenario before the application goes live is beneficial to the application owners to ensure that their application is going to go into production when its connectivity is organized as tightly as possible and as securely as possible.
So Avishai, let's take a future perspective for a second. Looking ahead, what business value do you expect infrastructure as code to deliver for an organization's needs to deploy applications more securely and more rapidly to the market?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, the value to the organization, setting aside the agendas of different silos in it, but the agenda of the organization is to deploy applications faster without losing any security. Okay, that's what organizations really need. If you go and ask the CIO, what are your metrics? These are your metrics, right? We need to deploy applications in minutes and not in hours, days, or months like it used to be way back when. So that's what we want to do. And the solution to that challenge, to be moving quickly, is of course using automation. So you want to automate and script and in particular use infrastructure as code. And that's all great. However, there's a lingering concern where if you automate everything and let the computers just go ahead and deploy everything to move very quickly, potentially you're doing an insecure job. You might be deploying things that you shouldn't because there's no manual oversight. There are no additional eyeballs looking at this. And so there's a concern. That's the security department's job to be concerned. And it's a valid concern. If you just go ahead and automate and orchestrate, you are taking a risk that maybe you're opening up things that you shouldn't. So the trick is to automate, but still have oversight without losing the speed. Okay, so you don't want to have automation and then manual oversight because the man in the loop takes a much too long to review things. You want to have automation and in the automation pipeline, mechanize the oversight that checks what's going to happen. And if everything is cool, the automation just goes ahead and is deployed. But if something is not okay, something looks suspicious, looks risky, looks incorrect, not aligned with guidelines, only then in those relatively rare cases do you stop the pipeline and have a manual intervention. So, the developer or the DevOps person gets feedback saying, okay, this is not secure. In our organization, that's not according to guidelines. And then they need to do something, right? They can either change the configuration that they're deploying because they just out of lack of information or lack of time attempted to create something that's very broad and not necessary. Or if it's really necessary, then they would need to get some kind of exception or get approval that it's okay to do it the way they wanted. But that's the rare case. The common case is that it's all business as usual. It's just like what we approved last week and the week before that, and there's nothing new here. So another instance of the same kind of thing. And those things can just run through in minutes, and hopefully, the automation works, 95% of the time with no human intervention, and only in the 5% of strange, unusual, or misconfigured IAC scripts, only then you need to do something about it. So if that all is deployed properly, then basically you get to have your cake and eat it too, right? You get the speed and you're not losing the oversight and control.
That's valuable stuff there, Avishai. That will do it for today's episode. I want to thank Avishai Wolf for walking us through infrastructure as code and thank all of our listeners out there in the community. We hope you found this session to be valuable. Stay tuned for our next podcast episode. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for joining today's podcast. Be sure to tune in for our next episode. Want to find out when the next podcast is out? Or listen to episodes you may have missed, visit our website at www.algosec.com/podcasts, where you can subscribe to future podcasts. To learn more about security policy management or get a demo of Algosec, visit www.algosec.com or email marketing@algosec.com.